Well, as I said earlier, we started last week a little talk series on some of these smaller letters in the Bible that often perhaps we overlook. Last week was James, and this week was 1 Peter. So excuse me if you are a guest, I'm so sorry, but you're in the midst of this. But at least they are, 1 week kind of things, so you're not missing out. You don't need to have heard last week's to understand this week. But I also hope that by the end of this, you'll have a fuller sort of understanding of why we do baptism. So those are my two things. You understand a little bit more of what 1 Peter's saying, but also hopefully you get a fuller expression of what baptism is all about. Now, a question for you to actually answer, turn to your neighbours, perhaps introduce yourself to someone different, is how would you retell the story of Noah's Ark to a child? What couple of words would you use? How would you go on, turn around, speak to the people next to you? I know you're British, but most of you, but we actually can talk to one another. How would you retell the story of Noah's Ark to a child? Come on then, what words have we got? What kind of things would we say to explain it to a child? I'm guessing there'd be a boat. You'd mention the boat. Right, is there anything else you would say? The rainbow. Yes, rainbow, even with an action. Love that. Okay. Sorry? Flood. Yes, water. Flood, yeah. Animals, yeah. The animals went do-ba-do. No one's going to join in? No? Hurrah, well done, Alice. Yeah, Noah's Ark is one of those Sunday school stories we probably all know. And actually, it's one of those, even in like a more secular society today, it still kind of penetrates. There are farms called Noah's Ark or Noah's, something or other that we see passing on the motorway. In Odeby, just down the road, there is a toy of an ark with lots of animals around it made of wood. People tend to buy these kind of things. You slot the animals through for babies. So Noah's Ark seems to still be around. But this is what the Bible actually says about Noah's Ark. Every living thing that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all creatures that swarm over the earth, all mankind. They all died. Cheery, right? Welcome to church. In 1 Peter today, we hear the story of Noah relating to baptism. And it puts into perspective the power of the spiritual symbol of baptism in a couple of ways. So firstly, we're going to look at judgment and salvation. Now, whatever you think about Noah's Ark, whether you think it actually happened, whether it covered the whole earth, or whether it covered just a region, or if it was just a metaphor, whatever you think, that's fine, variety of opinions in the room. But the Jewish people took their scriptures seriously. And they would have at least seen that there were spiritual lessons to be harnessed from these stories that Peter is now using to teach the church. And so when we go back to the Jewish scriptures in Genesis, we see that the world was made good by God. But a couple of chapters later, we get to Noah's generation and it's all gone wrong. They've rejected God, and that has meant that they're not caring for his creation. They're turning on each other, not loving their neighbour, and, of course, they have rejected his goodness. Which all means that there's judgment. God, out of his love to protect the world and to restore the world back to that good image where people can truly flourish in relationship with him, we see judgment. And, of course, it doesn't end well for a number of people. Everything dies. You can almost imagine, can't you, these swirling waves mixed with blood and water as Noah is saved, Noah and his family, on this wooden vessel, this time shaped like a boat, going to a new land where they could start again. And a people group, of course, does start again and try their best, albeit imperfectly, to serve God in the world. For Peter then, his generation, he sees as no better. They are rejecting God. They're not caring for creation. They're turning on each other. And therefore, their sin equals judgment. What about our generation? Are we caring for creation? Are we loving people and our neighbors? Countries are at war. This week in the village, I know of two households who live next to each other who have gone from friends to enemies. Or perhaps our neighbours who we literally just walk past in our morning haze to work or whatever activity we're going to that day. Not really a person that we know, just a thing that we exist next to. It happens, doesn't it? In the Bible's language, we've all fallen short of the goodness that God intended. So one would fairly presume that there'll be judgment. But thankfully, though there is judgment, there's good news. We can take a sigh of relief. Because as Tim Keller, a recently deceased New York pastor, writes, you are more sinful than you could ever dare imagine, and you are more loved and accepted than you could ever dare hope at the same time. So because of this love, just as in Noah's day, God makes a way for us to be restored to him. So while there is judgment, it's not us who die, but it's Jesus who came, in the words of the gospel writer John, and died in our place to take away our sins. And not only our sins, but the sins of all people. So on that cross, Jesus died, and we know from the Bible that as he was pierced, blood and water flow from his side, swirling on the ground, reminding us of that image of Noah. Where Noah was this micro, small image of judgment and salvation, now Jesus is for all humanity. And of course, it wasn't a wooden boat that saved Jesus. A wooden vessel, this time in the shape of the cross, that brought all people the chance of salvation. Because of Jesus, we have the chance to be in full relationship with God. So then when we think about baptism, this is a physical reenactment of this judgment and salvation process. This time we go into the waters. And I'm sure we were tempted to keep Chris down there just a little bit longer than he needed to be. But of course, then he comes up. He doesn't die in those waters. He's saved from them, leaving his old life behind, dying to it, raising to new life, a rebirth pool, as people keep saying to me. He's reborn. It's a beautiful outward sign of an internal reality that we feel that we're saved by Jesus. Judgment and salvation, 1 Peter brings it all out. And he encourages all people who are saved to live for God wholeheartedly. But the question is, how? Well, firstly, this isn't on my PowerPoint because I've added this in. Firstly, D.L. Moody, a great evangelist of the past, once used the language of a boat to explain his vocation and the vocation of all believers. He says, I look upon this world as a wrecked vessel. God has given me a lifeboat and said, Moody, save all that you can. And we too are called to join in that mission, to tell people this good news of Jesus. But then the life of the baptized believer is marked by a few things, says Peter. Not all of it's good, but all of it has hope. Number one, persecution. Well done, Chris. Welcome. People are going to think we're ridiculous for following Jesus. Some might be indifferent to it, as long as we keep it to our private selves and our own home. But some might hate us for it. In Peter's words, we are not to fear their threats. We're not to be frightened because we are blessed. God has blessed us. We will know his glory and his love forever. He is pointing our vision towards a future with him. So in the midst of suffering, we can stand firm and do good, even if persecution comes. So that's one. Second, preaching. And I don't necessarily mean what I'm doing now. Don't start hyperventilating. I'm not going to get you up here. But as Peter again advises to his readers, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. How do we do that? as normal, everyday people. We have to choose to mine the depths of Christ, to dwell in his word, to get to know him in prayer, to deepen our connection with the one who saved you, so that you might have the words to say when people ask you or they're exploring their spiritual life. And finally, obedience. Bit of a dirty word in today's society when we like personal autonomy. But of course, there's joy in following one that you love. There's a blessedness about being attached to one that you enjoy being around. And Peter says that we should speak our words with gentleness and kindness, but also keep a clear conscience. Live a life that reflects the goodness of God that he intends to see in the world. Goodness, peace, joy, to live as Jesus did, with wholehearted love, going to the poor and needy, going to those that others reject. We are to do this with as much integrity as we can. And when we fail, which we will, we come back to the cross, knowing it is there that we find Jesus, the one who loves us. So persecution, preaching, obedience. 1 Peter talks about baptism, so much more than a sprinkling of water. It symbolizes how Christ has suffered for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. We come to God as saved and free people. And in that knowledge, in the knowledge of such freedom, we live for Jesus, following him in suffering with our words and our actions. So perhaps today, what is our response? What is our response today? Well, perhaps you would like a fuller understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Perhaps you've heard good news, freedom from judgment, and you want to find out more. But maybe you're also in a time of suffering. You don't feel like you're standing firm and you need a bit of help. You need God to help you and you need this community to help you and stand with you. So we're going to take a couple of minutes, because I don't believe that you need necessarily me to pray for you or to support you. We've got each other. So we're going to just take a couple of minutes either to sit in silence and reflect on what we've just heard, or to speak to our neighbours and say where we're at. Do you want to know more? There's people around this room who would love to tell you more about Jesus. Do you need help in a time of suffering? There are plenty of people who want to pray with you and stand with you in that moment. So let's take a couple of minutes just to reflect or to chat and pray with one another.